You're listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change, and where you can participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment while providing impoverished entrepreneurs with an opportunity to thrive. I'm your host, Julia Steggy, with the pleasure of interviewing changemakers willing to share their secrets for having more impact. Listen to the entire interview series and make your donations to our plastics removal program at www.changingtheworldsummit.com.
Welcome to Changing the World Summit. I'm Julia Steggy, your host, and today I'm excited to have with me Anna Choi. And Anna's mission is to unleash your greatness, impacting your quadruple bottom line of people, planet, profit, and presence. She helps conscious entrepreneurs attract clients through her online client accelerator training, as well as gain more focus, clarity, and accountability through business coaching. As a broke college art student with zero connections, resources, or money, she tripled her net income, grossing six figures by the age of 25 in her first business, Inside Out Investing, a socially responsible financial planning practice. A decade later, she now helps high-performing, mission-driven entrepreneurs unleash their potential and make more money doing what they love while being that change they wish to be in the world. Anna is celebrating 15 years together with her college sweetheart, Leo, and have a joyful six-year-old son, Eli. They love their new home in Poulsbo, Washington. And you can learn more about Anna on her website at annasunchoi.com. annasunchoi.com. And you also, Anna, welcome. You also
Hi.
Have a YouTube channel, right?
That
didn't get into that little description. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the YouTube channel, too?
Absolutely, yeah. Social Impact TV. It is a diverse place for diverse perspectives of everyday local leaders to really share their inspirational story that has made a difference in their community.
Well, this is why I was so interested in interviewing you, because it's so close to my idea for this summit, really, interviewing change makers and people who are out to do stuff in the world and have some social impact. I assume that's your world-changing activity.
Well, I consider my business as well, but yes, absolutely that. Then empowering conscious entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in my business. Because the more that you can empower social entrepreneurs to be making their impact, obviously that's going to then solve.
So the more change makers, entrepreneurs, or whatever change makers you can help, then that helps change the world even faster, right?
Absolutely. It's common for people to have a big dream to want to change the world and think, oh, I'll start a business with this, but they have no idea what they're doing or how to, and passion alone isn't going to necessarily do it. So it's important that they can actually, survive financially to be able to make that difference they want to make.
Yeah, definitely. Well, have you always been inspired to make change?
Yes.
Like ever since you were a kid? How did that look?
I'm trying to think of the first time. I remember being surprised like when I was 10 or 12, kind of in fifth grade, and people had elected me to be like the representative for the class, even though I was a new girl and I had just come into town and I'd been there like a couple of days, but this guy looks at me, he's like, I just trust you, like you'll represent us. And he just said, like, I like you or something like that, or I trust you. Not in a romantic way, just he was just saying that. And it struck me, but I've always wanted to represent the voice for humanity and more specifically, change makers, people who want to make a difference in the world, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of what...
I'm sorry, what?
That's what I was going to say. That's a lot of how Social Impact TV came about, is how can I really represent the amazing stories of everyday people out there that don't get noticed or recognized because we have such a small slice of what is happening in the world, right, from our current media, and mostly it leaves people depressed or, you know, feeling like they can't make a difference. So I wanted to flip that on its head. Like, what if media was a source for inspiration and it inspired action? Like, you want to take action. And that's how we could really craft, you know, what questions to focus on when interviewing people, and really also get diverse. I say diverse, right? Diversity, inclusion, but diverse folks that you normally don't get to hear from that are extraordinary, right?
Yeah. Would you like to share, like, does anyone come to mind? You don't even have to name names, or the type of people that you've been interviewing. What are some inspiring interviews you've done?
Yeah. There was one done with, it was called From Prison to President, and it shares about a man's story that was convicted and went to prison for several years, had pretty much a life sentence, but he, you know, was convicted on like a murder and assisting one, but he was like, I didn't do it. He's like very clear he was falsely accused. Because of his good behavior, he was let out and now is the president of the NAACP.
Oh,
and
wow.
Meets with the governor and has made he's a huge voice for when we had this huge, like, transportation, you know, Big Bertha coming through Seattle. You know, he was ensuring that it wasn't going to have, you know, low-income neighborhoods impacted. Just he's also representing that population. So, an extraordinary person, right? Like, how I was just shocked you could go from prison to the president of the NAACP.
Right, that's a great title.
yeah, and he doesn't have like any remorse about it, and he's just awesome. And anyway, so that's one story, and I have another one with a gal that is her name is Rachika on gender equity, and you know, I just love that at the end we're talking about how to actually have people at the table. As feminists and, or, you know, non-feminists, whatever you believe, like, how do you actually engage the other side, so to speak, to create understanding? And we've had a talk with the indigenous, this wonderful leader. She's, you know, recently raised $10 million for tribal Indian lands and Indian country, it's called. And, you know, they can't, I didn't know this, but they can't a lot of times use banks or get open checking accounts even because they don't have like a social security number. they have their own system, right, as First Nations people. So anyway, they're giving – this is a big deal to raise this money, and they are giving it back to open up their own they're like their own money lending institutions. But so it's really reviving, you know, the entrepreneurs there, et cetera. But it's just fascinating to, you know, at the end of that, I was just left with, wow, how she, quote, unquote, you know, they've been scraping, like, with their fingers across the dirt, like, trying to get out of the colonization that's been around. But now all of this awesome stuff is happening. And, you know, wow. I just want to recognize that. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
So they're all amazing. Each one is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know they'll have to check it out. But when did you decide to do the station?
The channel, yeah, so.
The channel, sorry. Social
Impact
TV.
Yeah, no worries. I was in, okay, so I am one of my favorite organizations. I used to be a self-expression and leadership program leader for this, like, four-month program where I was leading it, right? So I'm, like, managing, I don't know, 60 to 70 students.
I used to coach that program.
No way! Really?
Way.
Awesome! Yay!
So it was an
so
SDLP
I must give credit
project.
There where it's due, but I don't know if I would have jump-started it the way I did without that structure and that accountability and that community, but at any rate, that program's amazing, right? So everyone's creating their own passion projects and their own expression of making a difference in the community. And so that was my project with Social Impact TV. And it started as an idea. And I just, again, wanted to really transform the media from the powerful influence it is, right, to instead of leaving people depressed, have them feel inspired and taking action instead.
Wow. Great. So what do you think the key was from taking that idea that you had from just an idea that maybe other people have but aren't doing anything about and actually doing something about it? That's pretty much why, that's one of the key reasons I wanted to interview people. I wanted to find out what is the difference between having an idea and actually doing it, and how did you do that? I see that you were in the program that supported you.
I was leading it, yeah. There's a lot of structure each week to take actions on it and create weekly actions for it. And initially, you know, I think you have to first create something that's so inspiring that you're going to do it versus just have an idea. So this, you know, I evaluated a lot of different projects I could have done, but this was the one that got me going. And then you have to really be willing to know, you know, have no idea what you're doing and put yourself out there without having it all perfect or even somewhat ready. And then just keep taking actions inside of what you are, you know, committed to inside of whatever project, you know, you, whoever's listening might be having that you want to manifest. So, that's like the sense that I really had to keep having conversations to just, I don't know if ideate is the right word, but, you know, create buy-in or just have other people enthusiastic about this. And initially it was just a conversation, but in the conversations, you know, you get more ideas and ways to do it. And then it just snowballs from there, right? And then, again, the community and the weekly actions and that accountability makes a huge difference in actually following through. And especially as a leader, I'm like, okay, I got to do this.
Yeah.
Lead the way, right?
Because you're, yeah.
But, you know, each there's like all these, you know, powerful kinds of conversations you can have. And one of the things we went over in that class is like what, you know, is a case for action. So if nothing were to change, right, if it, what predictably would keep going, like what would that look like, and then what could be possible if you did the project, and then asking people to participate. So that like 3-point conversation can happen in like 30 seconds, and it's very powerful just to start having people want to take part in things.
So like enrolling people in the project. Having them be excited about the project as you are so that they end up taking action.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So, curious, what actions did you enroll people in taking to help you start this?
Great question.
Did you get help? You know,
yeah,
or were they,
so I'm
obviously people agreed to be interviewed.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those are, I kind of came across organically as, you know, in my business. So that was, there's a lot of existing relationships for the interviews. But initially I was, I asked for partners. So I asked, you know, Social Enterprise Alliance and the Impact Hub and other social change, social impact groups, right, to kind of endorse it or just be part of it, you know, be partner. And then
that
was good. It was just a couple conversations and, you know, they're like, sure. And, you know, you have to kind of find a win-win, you know, what's in it for them and for you to do that. But I just said I would profile, you know, members as well. So that was another source for interviews. But I remember what took a long time actually was figuring out the flavor of the episode, like how long, was it going to be an hour? Was it going to be 5 minutes? Was it going to be, who would I interview? Like, what would be the theme? Is there a theme? You know, I got connected with a local radio station here from someone in my class who knew somebody there, and I didn't know what I was talking about really, but I just kind of shared, hey, here's, you know, I want to transform media. Source of inspired action, you know, any thoughts kind of thing. And she was great because she kind of helped solidify all the questions I need to ask myself around, are you going to go on site and interview folks? Are you going to even interview, or are you just going to share? Are you going to, you know, how long is it going to be? What's the format? So I just started conversation by conversation molding what this was going to be about to come out with kind of a tagline that this is a source for inspirational stories from diverse social impact leaders and mission-driven entrepreneurs. Initially, I was going to do just entrepreneurs because I was like, oh, this could be also a win-win for my business to help create, you know, more potential clients. But it kind of morphed now into not focused just on entrepreneurs, but on just social impact leaders in general. And frankly, it's just my kind of give back. I hope to kind of connect it more with my business right now, but it's just kind of my way to give back right now.
I think that's important to do that. I think a lot of people maybe hold back from doing things that they're, you know, like I myself, you know, it's been about 4 years I've had this idea. So,
I'm
finally getting around to it.
Yay!
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, you know, perfectionism, thinking I don't know what, you know, I'm doing, or telling myself I don't know what I'm doing, you better not do that, or you're just too busy with work. It has to be work-related to do it. And I just finally decided that I was just going to do it because it was my purpose to do it, because it was my calling to do it, and it was something that I'd already always done and just was born to do. And, you know, just because I hadn't done it in years doesn't mean it wasn't, you know, telling me to do it very clearly for quite a long time. After a while, I realized, wait, I've always done this, you know, and that's why I like to ask, you know, how long have you been doing this, and when did you remember, you know, starting? I remember back in the 7th grade, there were these bully girls. We had to wear skirts to school, and there were these bully girls that used to lift our skirts up in front of the boys. Oh. It's basically an assault. So I created a group of girls called the Keep Your Skirts Down Association, and we used to meet and talk and strategize about how to foil the bullies. So that was my first organization that I ever did.
Oh my gosh.
KYSDA. Yeah, we had like a little cheer. That was funny.
That's so
and we
great.
Did. We figured out, you know, in the 70s, this is like I'm dating myself, but in the early 70s, the popular dress was like a corduroy dress with a zipper down the front, and these bullies would unzip your unzip your dress. Well, we figured out if you put a safety pin in from behind, you can't see the pin, so it doesn't make it ugly, but you could pull on that all day and you won't be able to unzip it.
Mm.
And I remember this one bully trying to unzip it, just getting so frustrated. I just stood there letting her try. let her try. And, you know, so I feel like maybe, you know, is it part of our personality that we, you know, have to do stuff when we see injustice, we have to do something about it? Or, you know, are all of us really that way and just some of us decide to go through the risk of doing it? What do you think?
I think we're all that
way. Were
you
born?
Absolutely.
Born that
There's
way?
No, like, infant that you could look in the eyes of who, like, is like, I'm going to grow up to be a bully. But, I mean, I have compassion for the bullies in that either they were bullied, you know, something happened that had them go that route, and it's never too late to shift or transform that anyway. But, it is in all of us, and intellectually easy to say, right? Another thing to live it and accept folks that I don't, you know, appreciate their leadership on, or, I don't condone or anything. But that's, I think, if I separate them from me, the other, then that's just more of the same, right? So.
Right. No, my question
compassion.
Was, do you think it's natural to be a change maker? If you're a change maker, do you think you're born that way? Or, and that's why we do stuff about stuff? Or do you think it's something that we all are?
I think we all have the potential.
I've never had that question
it.
Before. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we're born with the potential to be a change maker, everybody. And then it's our choice to fulfill on that or not, right? And I think it's also easy because I've always kind of been globally minded or globally hearted. I don't know why, but it's just innate. I don't think everybody has that. Like some people operate on different levels, like just, you know, they want to operate within their family or their neighborhood or whatnot. So that can feel small, but still be as life-changing, like just to live a simple life, right? Versus it has to be some big, like, end poverty. But so my point being, I think change-making has a lot of different facets and expressions unique to each person, and it's up to us to activate it within us.
So what's your best advice for people listening who are would-be change makers?
Yeah, the biggest thing is you got to just take action and learn to fail fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only way you're going to learn. And then everything else that you use to stop yourself is just hogwash in your head. So you just have to, I think you have to surround yourself inside a community that's going to support you and ideally keep you accountable. But at the very least, they can cheerlead you. And you've got to, it's only in the action and the failing or the succeeding or just taking the action that the discovery, like the lesson learned, truly comes. I mean, that's what I love about mistakes is and failures is they, you know, it's what sticks with you. It's the only way to truly learn a lesson.
I mean, I think that a lot of us, I know I've done this, where I think about the mistakes I could possibly make, like in advance, like, oh, I might not know this, or I might fail to do that, or maybe, you know, I'll have this problem. And that I think that I'm supposed to overcome the mistake before I've done it. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
it's the opposite you
want to be perfect,
of what you're
saying. Exactly. What you're saying is you got to go through it.
Not just go through it. You got to learn to love it. Like, you know, look forward to it. That's like your access. Like create a tally, right, of how many mistakes you can make a day or how many times you can fail a day, like a goal. And on one hand, you'll be excited to do that because you're like, I can do that easily. Mm-hmm. But you'll actually notice it's probably harder than you think. You'll end up, oops, succeeding.
So just fail faster.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, that'll end up right action, right? I mean, it's not just about failing.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And like when you're doing something like a video, and so I have some resistance around video myself, and you know, it's like I remember I used to just do videos without thinking about it, and then somebody made a comment about the background in my video, like what's that in the background?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I became conscious of like, oh my gosh, people are looking at the background, they're not, you know, or my background isn't perfect, or
Mm-mm.
you know, there's some kind of weird noise on the microphone, or I don't look perfect, I better not do that video, I don't look perfect, or you know, I have to, you know, I have to do it. It's technologically, it needs to be perfect. Did you have any of those worries when you started your Social Impact TV?
To be totally honest, no. It wasn't, I was tending to those details. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, you got to wear solid colors, not patterns, so that it's not distracting to the eye. And it's got to be a clean background, so it's not, like, super distracting. So I knew those elements going into it and always think about those even now. So I have to, you know, sometimes create, like, a little set or just declutter behind me. But I know that it's, like, the imperfect videos that are often way more compelling than those, like, super staged stock photo almost, like, you know, videos. They're all like perfect little sets. That's not real, you know, and people know it.
I have a hard time with those where I'm like, mate, I know that's not your living room. I've been there before. You know, you definitely don't have that view. You're in a set. but they're acting like they're in a perfect living room or something. Like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it depends on how people do it. Like, I laugh because you can tell, you know, if you watch 10 different videos, you can tell what generation they're coming from. So you can tell, like, what's a millennial video, what's a boomer video, what's a generation X or Y video, by what they're used to. So, you know, depending on your audience, you have to tailor it to that. But, you know, kind of the old school, like, Tom Brokaw, like, or seeing, you know, interviewing these characters, you know, that's one version. And then even how it, like, fades or, like, labels things, you know, versus the millennials are going to be way more raw, you know, it's, you know, you hold up, you know, the selfie generation of, you know, just taping from your phone and as you're walking.
Right.
So I think I have some familiarity. I'm like right on the edge of being a millennial. Like I'm at the oldest level, right? I'm Generation X and a millennial technically. But anyway, so I think I can walk between those worlds of generations, but it just depends on your audience. So yes, you need to attend to those things. I think it's silly not to, or it won't be as effective, right? You can't just like totally do it raw. You kind of got to put some thought, but I think people appreciate the raw, like, humanity of it. It's just more, it's like someone, you're talking to your friend, not like someone higher than thou or something, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that way, that's more interesting to me than everything is so, so polished. Well, this leads us into, I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, yeah, no worries. You, my friend, should just practice being in front of the camera as far as feeling comfortable. I mean, it sounds like you were. You just took that comment, you know, let it in or something. But if you focus on just getting the message out, that's what carries the day for me is in the end. Because I've had people make all sorts of comments about my videos after. You look anorexic there, or like, I'm like, I didn't realize that, or like, that's a bad background, it looks, you know, blah, 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 blah. I've been more amused, but I notice I don't want to show those as much, right? So you take it with a grain of salt, and you kind of let it in at the same time, and then, you know, make adjustments, but anyway, the point is, it's about the message.
I were advising myself, I'd say, get over it. But I realize that it's not, you know, sometimes we believe, we don't even examine the belief, you know, that, it has to be, you know, a fancy studio or else. And that's a belief. It's not the truth. And one of the most successful internet marketers I know does the, you know, walking on the beach selfie videos and does very, very well.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He works it. You know, he's handsome. He's young. He tricks his shirt off. He talks about his hair. But, like, and the bottom line is he's just being himself and just walking on the beach. I mean, there's just no production value there. Selfie stick.
Yep. Exactly.
So I was going to say, that leads us to what the program that you're providing in our toolkit for our fundraiser, where our goal is to eliminate more than 1 million plastic bottles out of the environment before it reaches the ocean, and to help employ people in impoverished areas that are overrun by plastic. And so we do a sort of a poverty eradication pollution control project. And so you are providing a program for the toolkit called How to Impact the World Using YouTube Live. And I love this. So you don't need to be a tech savvy to make a difference you're out to make. You don't need to hire a videographer or do an expensive video shoot in a fancy studio. With just a laptop, webcam, and internet reception, this step-by-step process will show you how to create YouTube live episodes that make a difference. I think that's cool. I obviously need that, and it's like you answered my question. I mean, those are all my considerations about doing something on YouTube. Do you want to share anything about that program? The value is $500. I'm real excited about it.
Absolutely. Yep. So it is a training that's going to walk you step-by-step of how do you actually design the episode, and then what are the questions you can ask, and then what, you know, why even do it in the first place, as well as what this just a step-by-step. I'll actually have a video, you know, showing my screen, like showing you how to set up your account in YouTube step-by-step. And then I'm also going to throw in there, part of that program has an interview I did at a university on Social Impact TV and how that started, and also give you sample episodes you can follow. So, you know, by the end, you should, just watching that, be able to create your first episode.
Yay! Thank you so much for that contribution, Anna. Is there anything else that you want to tell our change makers, you know, final words for our listeners?
Yeah. Just that it is possible to have it all, as far as doing what you love and making lots of money and not working crazy amounts of hours, even part-time, you know, to travel and spend time with your family and so on. So it is possible. Like, you hear it a lot and you're like, sure. and it, you know, you still have to do the work. It takes a lot of work and face your fears and, you know, be great at adapting to having no idea what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so worth it. So whether you are designing your first episode on YouTube or you're, you know, starting your business that's going to make a difference in the world, it's completely possible, and you don't have to do it alone. And anyway, so I have, there's a community, a free community we have on Facebook of Conscious Entrepreneurs. You can check it out. Just shift your mindset.
We'll include the link.
I will. I will include that link, and
we'll have it right below the interview.
Oh, perfect. Yep. Anyway, and so, yeah, you can do that. We have a community as well that you can check out if that's for you, called the Client Accelerator for Conscious Entrepreneurs. So if you are someone who wants to use business as a force for good and be inside an awesome group of like-minded people making lots of money, then you can check that out as well.
Great. Thanks, Anna, for joining me today in Changing the World Summit. It's my pleasure to connect with you and be inspired by what you've done, and really looking forward to checking out the How to Impact the World Using YouTube Live program. It's so up my alley. I just feel like we're very aligned, and I'm so pleased that we got to connect.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change. To participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment, please visit www.changingtheworldsummit.com now and make your contribution.